brought to you by Penguin.
The Wartime Midwives by Daisy Stiles, read by Helen Lloyd. For my son, Gabriel. Chapter 1. Mary Vale. On a blustery May morning, with the wind rattling the windows of the nurse's boarding house of Mary Vale Hall, Ada Dale struggled, as always, to confine her long golden auburn curls under her starched white cap. Knowing she'd get a ticking off from matron if she didn't present herself without her hair out of place, she stopped in the hall to check her appearance in an unsatisfactory small mirror. Throwing her navy blue cape around her shoulders, Ada hurried along the long, echoing corridor that connected Mary Vale mother and baby home to the convent of the Sisters of the Holy Mother, where she boarded in the wing specifically set aside for staff accommodation. Passing the beautiful golden and blue statue of Our Lady of the Sea, Ada automatically crossed herself. Though brought up a Protestant in her hometown of Sheffield, Ada had grown to respect the customs and practices of the Catholic Church during her stay at Mary Vale. If you spent as much time with nuns as Ada did, one inevitably picked up certain customs, and this was just one of them. Ada checked her fob watch and saw that she had a few minutes to spare, and having always been drawn to the outdoors, she pushed open the heavy front door and walked out into the large garden that wrapped itself around the big, old, multi-gabled red-brick house. Mary Vale had originally been built by the parish as a place for the destitute and insane, but was now used as a refuge for unmarried pregnant women and their babies. Standing in the garden, Ada's roving gaze landed on Mary Vale's attic windows. She always spared a thought for the poor, sad souls who'd been confined to those high, dark rooms so long ago, locked away after conceiving a child out of wedlock. She'd read in Mary Vale's old records of rejected spouses, women who'd been committed to the asylum, condemned on some trumped-up charge to a brutal and unjust internment so that their husbands could claim their inheritance. Thinking of the women presently occupying the home, Ada was sure that Mary Vale was a far happier place these days. Though, she thought, as she breathed in and filled her lungs with fresh air, the place regularly echoes with the cries of heartbroken mothers unable to keep their babies. Ada again checked the time and quickly followed the garden path that led across a railway track and onto the beach. Standing buffeted by the stiff spring breeze, she admired the breathtaking sweeping view of Morecambe Bay before her, while behind her ranged the soft swelling hills that steadily rose to meet the lower fells of the Lake District. Ada marvelled that the view was never the same, though the landscape remained constant. The ever-changing light and shifting tides coloured it differently every day. On one such as this, a passionate fell walker like Ada itched to stride out and ascend to the mountain tops. "Wait until you're next off duty," she firmly told herself. Clutching onto her nurse's cap, which was in serious danger of being blown into the Irish Sea, she retraced her steps into Mary Vale. As she hurried through the maternity ward, Ada passed several girls who were busy about their morning chores. When she'd arrived at the home just over a year ago, Ada had been shocked to see heavily pregnant women mopping, scrubbing, polishing, and lugging heavy buckets of coal and laundry. She'd been brave, or foolish enough, to query this with matron, who had coldly pointed out that the expectant mothers were obliged to help with the upkeep of the home. Matron had added that cleanliness was of the utmost priority in an environment where infection could quickly result in death. But Ada sensed it was more a case of matron wanting to see these fallen women atone for their sins. Passing a sweating girl straining to clean the high windows that ran the length of the maternity ward, Ada called out, "Be careful! Shall I fetch you a ladder before you do yourself a serious injury?" "No thanks, Sister Ada. I can't stand heights," the grinning girl called back. Ada shook her head. She didn't know who was the more stubborn, matron or the girls themselves. Ada washed her hands, then knotted a long apron around her waist and entered the delivery room, where she heard a young girl's screams. She knew these would alarm the other girls, nervously awaiting the birth of their own babies, so she closed the door firmly behind her to reduce the noise. Ada turned to the midwife in charge. "Morning, Sister Anne," she said with a warm smile, eager to do what she could to help. Sister Anne, Ada's closest friend and colleague, smiled warmly back before quickly saying, "Good to see you, Ada. Could you open the window? I think Shirley here would appreciate some fresh air." Ada opened the window as wide as it would go, grateful for the salty sea breeze that replaced the hot, fetid air in the room. Sister Anne continued bathing her patient's clammy forehead as she prepared her for her next contraction. The small, skinny girl lying on the bed looked more like 12 than her actual age of 15. Her dull brown shoulder-length hair was presently matted with sweat, and her brown eyes, large in her thin, pinched face, were full of fear and dread. Panicking, she cried out, "Sister Anne, help me! There's another one coming!" "Relax, Shirley, dear, you're doing fine," Sister Anne said gently. "Let's remember all those breathing exercises we did in the fitness classes."
"I can't remember out," the frightened girl shouted. "It hurts too bloody much."
Seeing the girl's tender, pale belly rising and tightening, the nun gripped her sweaty hand.
"Let me talk you through it," Sister Anne said patiently. "Come on, Shirley, breathe with it."
"It hurts, sister,"
the grunting girl shouted again.
"It hurts like hell."
"I know," Sister Anne soothed. "Try not to tense, lovey. Breathe in."
Eased by the softness of the nun's voice and trusting in her implicitly, Shirley calmed her breathing and exhaled slowly and steadily.
"Good girl," Sister Anne exclaimed. "That's much better. Now, relax and get ready for the next one," she advised.
Confident there was no better midwife in the whole of the Northwest than Sister Anne, Ada busied herself replenishing the water jug so Sister Anne could offer Shirley regular small sips of water. As her colleague continued to help Shirley with her breathing, Ada checked the baby's fetal heart with her stethoscope. Then she quickly monitored the girl's blood pressure and heart rate, both of which had risen alarmingly, she noted, as she examined the patient's chart clipped to the end of the bed.
"Her blood pressure's a bit raised, which can't be good for baby," Ada whispered to Sister Anne.
Sister Anne nodded in agreement before she whispered back, "I was holding off on the gas and air."
"Are you sure?" Ada muttered. "It looks like she needs it."
Sister Anne relented, and the two women did their best to relieve Shirley's pain, which was lessened by the gas and air. But it was nevertheless a long, gruelling morning for both patient and staff.
"Poor lamb," Sister Anne murmured to Ada, as Shirley moaned and writhed on the bed.
"She's barely more than a child herself," Ada murmured back, as again she checked the fetal heartbeat.
"The baby's fine, thank God."
"I only wish I could say the same for Shirley," Sister Anne said, as she reapplied a cold, damp flannel to her patient's forehead.
"There, there, it'll soon be over with," Ada soothed, as Shirley flinched and another contraction started.
It turned out to be a tough delivery for the nervous 15-year-old, who ripped badly during the birth and lost a lot of blood too. Groggy from the drug she'd inhaled, the new mother hardly seemed aware of the scrawny little girl she'd at long last brought into the world. after gently cleaning the baby.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?